better in terms of being visible and available to the users, and we did respond to that within hours, if not days, and blogged permanently throughout that process. So I would refer any of you to the Google blog. We do certainly more than any company I've ever worked for before, you know, do have that ongoing discussion and conversation with our users. Is there a final point there? I think you, privacy. I think privacy is about, comes down to, for us, it's about individuals having choice, transparency, and control. And I think privacy in the human rights space is an interesting one. We want the option to be anonymous, but we also want to know who else, who the person with the content we're reading in.
But
and I think there's a gradient in that sense. But individuals, when posting materials, ought to, and using products, ought to have information about how the data is used and what for, options, and the rights to control that. And certainly in our case, we've recently launched the Google Dashboard, which is like a one place where you can go to check the way that your settings are with Google products and services, and Buzz has been added to that.
There are conflicting pressures, though, because Google's business as an advertising business depends on knowing more and more and more about its users. Behavioural advertising is a big new thing. Isn't it always going to be difficult for you to walk that tightrope? You need to make ever bigger profits, and the road to bigger profits lies in knowing more about your users' habits.
So two things I would say. The majority of our advertising is contextual advertising, which means there's a link between the nature of the advert and the search term that you enter into the search box. Google doesn't have, unlike many companies, Google doesn't have information on you as an individual. They have an IP address on the computer. They don't even know who is using that computer. On interest-based advertising, which we did go into recently, what we did, because we were aware of this, was actually set up an ads preference manager, which is available to all of you, which you can go in and you can say, I want to be associated this, but not this, or don't associate me with anything. And we have a permanent opt-out ability as well in that. So again, it's giving the users the choice. And what's interesting is those that have gone into that, the majority have not changed their settings, but the settings are there, the options are there, and we believe that users should be informed, have transparent information, and have choices. And the ads preference manager was what we set up when we went into interest-based advertising.
Annabelle?
I just think there's another argument growing, which I think is interesting, of people becoming information slaves and working for free. So I also want to use platform sort of take the argument a little bit further with you working with British media. You know, so much material from Iran was user-generated content sent in various ways to the big media, some of it used, some of it not used. What has happened to that? And I know, you know, a number of internet analysts are beginning to turn this argument around. Why should we be working for free for large media? You know, for a while this sounded like a good thing, you know, user-generated content.
Yeah, citizen journalist is, I'm wondering what the definition of, my definition is somebody that doesn't get paid for what they do.
How long? Yeah. And indeed, when big media take that content, what do they do with it? Facebook is increasingly hard to excavate. You can excavate a little bit, you cannot go very far back, it just doesn't work. So here is material that people have put on the net that at some point you might want to sort of use again or share again. You can't get to it. So I think there's a bigger debate, not only about privacy and surveillance, but actually what happens to the content that we are putting on.
Kevin, have you got thoughts on that?